inside the 10. Barr jumps it in and it's Waller. He spins into the end zone for the touchdown. Watching greatness on one end in LeBron. There's a dude with 35 in white getting it done defensively and then offensively. Taking over the fight. Mama, there goes that man.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to this week's edition of the Waterboy Experience. I'm your host once again, the Waterboy himself, Davis McLemore. We got a lot to cover right now because several breaking news moments have just broken out as we are speaking. So we're going to get to all that really quick, but here to help me tackle all of those firings, and I'm thinking about firing him myself, my good friend, the CEO and CFO of Nye Productions, the Red Bull chugging son of a gun, Mr. Jason Shaddix. Jason, how are you?
And here I was planning your bachelor party, and now you're going to fire me. Well, you know what? Fuck you. Fuck your mama. Fuck you and the horse you rode
on. Well, hold on. You're about to get fired from that, too, because your idea of a good time is getting drunk, shrooms, and pizza. Actually, that does sound like a good time.
Well, you won't allow the cocaine nor the hookers. What's the fun without hookers and blow?
I just said you couldn't have it in my house.
Okay, now, okay, so it's going to be like when we go out drinking at the wedding reception, and we're going to have to go to the parking lot.
Yes, it's a parking lot type deal.
I hope nobody that goes to the wedding listens to this before Friday.
But like, hey, well, you didn't hear that from me.
Nor from me.
No. So anyway, we got a lot of firings to cover today. We're going to start off with one of the big ones. Should we go Formula One and then into NFL? Or
I think so.
Okay, let's do that. Well, ladies and gentlemen, Haas's Gunther Steiner.
Team principal
for a while now, and he's become a fan favorite amongst most fans, I would say.
Especially if you watch DTS, Drive to Survive, the Netflix reality shows, series, whatever it's called.
Yes, great show. Go check it out. He's been fired.
Yep.
Effective immediately.
Yep.
Do you have any details, further details on that?
So one of the things, I saw the official release and I saw what Haas said. Essentially, Gene Haas did not like the way Gunther was running Haas because Gunther wanted more investment into necessary facilities because they're split up. They have three facilities. They have one in the UK, which is a small one. Like, you look at it and you think, that's a warehouse for like a shipping company.
Yeah, compared to Red Bull.
Compared to Red Bull, Ferrari, Alpine, Mercedes. Aston Martin, all of them. It's really small. They have one in, I think, North Carolina, where that's like Haas's actual like headquarters, where they have the NASCAR team and all that. And then they have one in Maranello, where the Ferrari team is at, because they have their little office space and all that, because they use the wind tunnels and stuff like that. Well, Gunther wants to invest in the future, and he's like, we need more money. We need to invest it into creating buildings. We need necessary stuff. Gene doesn't want that. And he feels that Gunther hasn't been extracting as much performance as he could from the available parts. And that's something that we have talked about, because the upgrades Haas has brought in 2022 and 2023 have been nothing. They haven't helped the car. But here's the issue. The Haas car is really fast on one lap. So for qualifying, they usually get in the top 10. They're close or they break into the top 10. But the problem is that their tires are eaten up by a quarter of the way into the race. And that's a problem Ferrari has as well. And the issue, you know, Gene blames it on Gunther and the guys at the aerodynamics not getting the most out of the car. But the problem is that's a fundamental issue of Ferrari.
Right.
So how are you going to fix something that is caused by a piece you don't design, but only Ferrari designs, and Ferrari doesn't even know where that issue is coming from? At least they didn't know throughout most of the race, most of the season, I mean.
So why didn't they even think about, you know, shopping around to other companies for these parts? Because if Ferrari is having these same problems, and you're getting the parts from Ferrari, why don't you try looking elsewhere? Maybe looking at McLaren, you know, Red Bull, well, Mercedes.
Here's the thing, though. The reason why they have such a strong partnership with Ferrari is because they're basically Ferrari's second team. They're the AlphaTauri of Ferrari.
Okay.
So they get all these parts from them. Like, they have everything that they can get from Ferrari, they get from Ferrari. They don't build most of the things in-house. Like, the chassis, that's one of the things a lot of the teams make themselves. Well, they outsource it to Dallara, which makes a lot of the Formula 2, Formula 3s. They do a lot of racing stuff. But there's a big impact when you don't make it yourself.
Yeah.
They do run it on the wind tunnel, but at the same time, it's like there's a limit to the innovation that you can do when everything is designed around a different design.
Yeah.
You're basically trying to fit something. You're basically trying to fit a square into a triangle.
It can be done.
Well, if you bash it enough.
Yeah.
But that's the issue. Gunther wasn't the only one who left Haas, because it's also being said that technical director Simon Resta has left Haas, and it's because there's differences in the way things want to go, because he, and as well as Gunther, are trying to convince Gene to, you know, make more of the parts in-house. That costs money. And Gene has been adamant at the fact that he wants to use the Formula One team as mostly as a billboard.
Yeah.
To advertise Haas, not automotive, but Haas Industries, which is basically they make a lot of machine parts.
So like MoneyGram.
Yes, he basically wants a team so that his name is on it. And so people think, well, there's a Haas machine to use. Like, I can buy a Haas machine for like my job or something like that. Something that I need, I'm going to get it because I see Haas on Formula One.
Right. I can see both arguments here. I mean, Gunther Steiner and, you know, the strategy principal or technical principal or whatever his
name. Technical director.
Technical director. Yeah. Same title. I can see where both sides are coming from. They want to make the car competitive. They want to be good. Whereas Gene Haas can't really justify dumping a whole bunch of money into this, and which I understand, because, you know, at the end of the day, that's not where it doesn't really matter to him. And correct me if I'm wrong, I believe that they're involved in NASCAR as well.
Yes, Haas is involved in NASCAR, and they've done pretty well. Stuart Haas is the car you're thinking about.
Right. And that's his big thing is NASCAR right now, because it's America, it's home, it's, you know.
But at the same time, here's the thing. Williams knows this, and James Vowles knows that the problem with Williams is they're behind when it comes to infrastructure.
Yeah, and we've been talking about that for several years.
Exactly. There, he says that everything at Williams is at least a decade behind.
Right.
Which in Formula One, even if you're a few months behind everybody else, that's a lot. And then you got a decade, but he's turning it around. You're seeing him getting Williams to the owners of Williams to invest more money into the team. And they're willing to do it because they see the results. Like, I understand Gene being pissed at Gunther going, why do you want me to spend even more money on an infrastructure when you can make the best out of the upgrades that you have designed already? Which is understandable. But at the same time, you're limited because, well, I have to work with the designs of Ferrari. And the designs of Ferrari are made for Ferrari, not for Haas.
No.
But in Gunther's place, he has been replaced by
Mattia Bonato.
God, no. He's a Japanese fellow, so pardon my pronunciation. Ayo Komatsu.
Let me give it a try.
Yeah, it's the first.
Ayo Komatsu.
Komatsu. I thought you were close on the last name, but he actually has been a pretty prominent figure in Formula One. He started at BAR Honda as an engineer, so he was on the comms. He did that at Renault. He did that at Lotus. And then right before Lotus was bought out by Renault, which Renault sold it to Lotus. Lotus then sold it to Renault. Renault changed it to Alpine, but before it became Renault again, he jumped with Romain Grosjean to Haas, and he's been the second most senior figure at the team. Number one was Gunther. But here's the thing, and I was watching a video about this at the race, really great channel. They were describing how Gunther's really the person who decided how everything should be run. He's the one who came up with the idea of, let's partner up with Ferrari and buy all the parts we can and run it as cheap as possible. And that was a really good thing because there wasn't a cost cap back then. You're talking about Ferrari, Red Bull, and Mercedes spending at least $500,000 every year. Now that there's a cost cap, he's thinking, okay, this is our chance to break out of this mold that we've been in. And everything he, say what you want about Haas, but Gunther's the one who's been running it. He's the one who helped Haas stay afloat in 2020 and 2021 when they were going through financial problems. Because a lot of people, especially if you're new to Formula One hasn't seen such a huge growth in popularity in recent years. And this huge boom with DTS, with the new ownership of Liberty Media. There we go.
Liberty Media, yeah.
They brought a lot of spotlight to Formula One, and it made the teams worth even more money. And it, now there's so many sponsors. I mean, look at the McLaren in 2018, and look how bare-boned it was. Just the livery was just the colors, the McLaren, and maybe one or two sponsors. Now that car is the most sponsored car on the grid. And it's this rise in popularity. And Gunther, he's been the face of Haas. The team is called Haas, but it's really Steiner Racing. Because think about it. He's the big breakout star from DTS. He wrote a book. He even became the face of the Formula One manager game, which had Christian Horner, Toto Wolff, and Gunther Steiner, which you think, why Gunther Steiner? Well, why not? He's the third most popular team principal. Actually, I think he's more popular than Toto and Christian, but Toto and Christian make the news because they're always at each other's throats.
Right.
The way I look at it is this is probably going to get backfire on Gene Haas, and I'm starting to agree with a lot of people who say that Gene should sell the team to Michael Andretti.
That'd be brilliant.
That way you kill two birds with one stone. You fix the issue of Andretti trying to come into Formula One while keeping Formula One happy that there is Andretti who's coming in with Cadillac support, so General Motors. Meanwhile, Gene gets back the money that he spent on the team. And he could probably make a deal where it's like, hey, put my name on the car, Haas, right there. Keep me as a sponsor. That's part of the deal.
And I mean, you can also bring in some, maybe not much, but some expertise in building the car. And kind of have Haas have more of a partnership between Haas and Andretti to where they can be like, this is what we've been doing and da 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 da. So that, you know, Andretti is not completely in the dark about what to do. And if Andretti at first wanted to start out by outsourcing their parts, maybe that's something Haas could help with. But I think
moving slowly away from the partnership with Ferrari would be a really important thing if Andretti bought Haas, because they'd be like, okay, while we figure this shit out, we're going to use your parts. But as soon as we start figuring it out, we're going to buy less and less of your parts, and we're going to be more and more independent of Ferrari. Ferrari isn't really having any influence on them. Ferrari's just giving them, like, they gain from just having Haas, because they're like, okay, you're paying us this much money for almost everything that we can give you from the car. That's fine. But we're not going to fix an issue that you're having with your car from our parts, because that's not our problem.
But they're also having the same problems. And that's what you get for buying Ferrari parts.
Exactly. So that's the only way Ferrari would fix a part for Haas, is the fact that, well, our parts are also badly designed and it's causing an issue in our cars.
Yeah.
It's kind of like their engines last year. Remember, everybody with Ferrari engines were blowing up.
Oh, yeah.
That's what's been going on in Formula One. There's also been things going on about Alfa Romeo Sauber, now called Steak, and everything that's going on.
Steak. Formula One team.
With there being, it was more last year that there was rumors that Audi was kind of getting cold feet.
Oh, no.
But Audi right now, I think by the start of the season, is going to own at least 50% of Sauber, or, you know, Steak.
Steak.
Yeah.
So here's my question. It's, as far as steak goes, is Audi manufacturing the parts for, like, are they the constructor for steak, or are they outsourcing parts from somewhere else?
Both.
Both. Okay.
So right now, Audi, and this is a brilliant thing, what Sauber, I'm just going to call them Sauber because it's better than calling them steak.
Yeah. And they've been Sauber before.
Yeah. So basically what Sauber's doing, and I didn't realize this until somebody pointed out, is right now the reason why they sold the rights to steak, and they're going to be called Kick in certain countries where you can't advertise gambling. The reason they're selling the rights. Yeah. Kick. It's I think a clothing brand, something like that.
Okay.
But one of the reasons why they're selling the rights to these companies and all that, the naming rights, is because Sauber is trying to fund the team exclusively on the third-party sponsors. That way, Audi can use the money that they were going to use to fund Sauber now that they own 50%, and instead of spending it on the team itself, they're spending it on continuing building their infrastructure because they're building their own engine department. Like, they're building the facility to build the engines in Germany. So now you have them just spending all their money on making sure the foundation for Audi is well built. Meanwhile, Sauber is keeping this team running by spending money using the sponsor's money. So basically, they're trying to make sure that the foundation is going to be great when it comes out in 2026.
Okay.
So that's the Formula One stuff that I had. I thought that was a little interesting thing.
That is interesting. And we're very sorry to see Günther Steiner leave. Do you think there's any chance he'll be hired by another team?
I'm sure. I think he worked with Ferrari back in the Schumacher days. And then I think he might have had a brief stint working at Red Bull when it debuted in 2006. So the man's got experience.
The man's been around the block.
I trust him more than Mattia Binotto.
Yeah, I'd trust anybody more with Mattia Binotto. Hey, I'm going
to... Except when it comes to building an engine, because you cannot deny that man
building an engine. That's true. I'm going to say this real quick, but the other day I saw a picture of Mattia Binotto, and I thought, is he the Tony Khan of Formula One?
No, he's got a head on his shoulder.
Curly head on his shoulder. Anyway, you ready to talk about NFL?
No.
Okay, well then first we'll talk about college football. Congratulations to the University of Michigan for winning the NCAA College Football National Championship. You don't seem too happy about this. Why not?
I think they should have been stripped of all their points, all their wins.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I'm not super happy about it. I'm just like, whatever. But yeah, I mean, they won. It was what it was.
This win is tainted. Nobody's ever going to say this was a fair win.
Yeah, everybody's looking at him with a side eye right now. But it would have been, everybody would have loved Washington. And wouldn't that have been a way for the Pac-12 to finally go out with Washington, with a Pac-12 team winning the national championship?
It would.
That would have been great.
But we didn't get that ending.
We didn't get that.
Hey, but at least you can say that people who normally don't have a chance at making it to the finals made it to the finals.
Oh, they made it. Yeah. It was good to see. It was a great college football playoff. I did enjoy it this year. Past years, I have not enjoyed it at all.
It was very surprising.
Yeah.
And now it's really going to change. Today, we got an update. Wednesday, January 10th, reported by ESPN. Legendary college football coach.
Future Hall of Famer.
He is the Hall of Fame.
He's the Hall of Fame. He's a walking Hall of Fame. I mean, hold on.
Nick Saban has retired from coaching.
Yes. It gut-wrenching.
After, what did you say, 2-3 years of not a really good season for them?
Yeah, just about. But look at the decades of success that he's had in the past.
Just look at the facilities that they have in Alabama.
Oh, yeah. And even, you know, even before Alabama, he won, I think, multiple national championships with LSU. He's one of the most decorated football, not even college football head coaches. He's one of the most decorated football head coaches of all time. So, it's sad to see him call it quits, but hey, he's making it out.
No, it's not. You were happy about it.
I wasn't happy about it.
Well, you didn't like the dominance of Alabama.
Well, yeah. As an Alabama fan, I got bored of it. And I'm not saying this changes anything. This season was entertaining to me because Alabama struggled. And I like, you know, I kind of like seeing them struggle. I don't like seeing them lose, but I like seeing close games from Alabama.
You like the competition.
It's the opposite of the way I am with the Raiders.
Oh boy, we got to talk about
that. I'm tired of the Raiders losing, and I got really excited when they played that one game that was not competitive at all.
Which one?
Against the Chargers.
Oh, that one.
So here, let me give you a list of a few NFL players Nick Saban has produced.
50% of the NFL roster.
Just about. Eagles quarterback Jalen Hurts.
Yeah.
Dolphins quarterback Tua Tagovailoa.
Yeah.
Both great players.
As long as they're healthy.
As long as they're healthy. Especially
after,
Tua.
Yeah. Well, especially both of them after the way they've been playing.
Panthers quarterback Bryce Young, who there's still something to be there.
Didn't they trade their first round pick for Bryce Young?
They did.
How's that working out for them?
They need an offensive line. I think once they get an offensive line and a couple wide receivers,
I don't think that's going to, and that's fine. Not going to
I think he'll be fine.
It's not going to fix the issue.
I think, and he needs a new head coach, honestly.
4-12.
Yeah. But Bryce Young is he's a talent. He's a work in progress. The rest of the team is a work in progress. I think Bryce Young could be much better on a different team. Patriots quarterback Mac Jones. Now, there's a disappointment.
Yeah.
But Mac Jones is different because I even said it when he was going to get drafted. He was not the star of the show. Everyone else around him was. That's when you had Henry Ruggs, Jalen Waddle, Devontae Smith.
Wait a minute. What happened to Henry Ruggs?
We don't talk about that anymore. But he had all three of those players, and he had Josh Jacobs. He had a stacked offense, and so it made him look better than he actually was.
I think playing for Alabama, you know, any of those players is a slap in the face and a wake up to reality. Because I've always told you this, you can be the star athlete of your high school football team. You could be, in our case, the Jabon Patterson.
Yeah.
The greatest player to have ever set foot in our high school football team.
Shout out.
You go to college and you realize, oh shit, I'm not a star athlete anymore. I'm just a regular player.
You realize only 8% of all high school athletes or all high school football players make it into college. And an even smaller percentage get to play a snap of the NFL. Much less be a star in the NFL.
Yeah. And that's another thing. You go from college. Let's say you are a star in college. You go and play in the NFL, and then you're like, what the fuck happened to me? Am I even good?
That happens a lot.
Yeah.
Sometimes it works out. Sometimes it doesn't.
Very rarely.
Very rarely. In the case of Mac Jones,
no.
Not working out.
In case of pretty much every player who has ever played in all the teams. Because let's be honest, the majority of players, you don't even remember their names after they get fired or retired.
After they walk across that stage in the first round and they get their jersey and they shake hands with Roger Goodell, his tainted hands, you really never hear about him again.
Yeah. I mean, take Will Levis. He went viral for a second. And then I didn't even think about the kid until you mentioned him a few episodes ago. And I'm like, oh, that's right. He went viral for a second.
I was going to say Dwayne Haskins, but.
Yeah.
Yeah. Never mind. As far as running backs, he's produced Derrick Henry.
Yeah.
Great running back. Josh Jacobs, great running back. Najee Harris, great running back.
I have a friend named Najee. Well, Najee, yeah.
Oh, by the way, Derrick Henry, Titans. Josh Jacobs, Raiders. Najee Harris, I believe Steelers. Jahmyr Gibbs, Detroit Lions.
Woo!
Mark Ingram, Baltimore Ravens. Right? I believe he's still on the Ravens.
Maybe.
Yes.
Yeah.
Eddie Lacy, I don't think he's in the league anymore. He gained a lot of weight. He was really good there for a minute with the Packers, and then he just kind of gained a lot of weight, and now we don't really know where he went. And Trent Richardson, who used to play for the Raiders, I believe, and then, you know, he's kind of been hanging around a little bit. Wide receivers, Julio Jones, one of the best wide receivers in the league. Amari Cooper, great talent. Devontae Smith. He's a key part to that Eagles offense. Jalen Waddle, star wide receiver for the Miami Dolphins. Jerry Jeudy, probably the only good player on the Denver Broncos. And Calvin Ridley, who I believe is also a Patriot. As far as defense, you have Minka Fitzpatrick, Patrick Surtain, Trayvon Diggs. So Trayvon Diggs is one of the best defensive players in the league, period. Marlon Humphrey, Quinnen Williams, Will Anderson, Dante Hightower. I mean, these are all just star, well, not all of them. These are all like five-star players that he has coached and taught everything they know. And there's a lot more that have already played their career and retired.
If you go to the University of Alabama and you see their facilities, they have this wall, and I saw it on a video, they have this wall where they have a helmet of every NFL team, and then in the visor, there are names scrolling through it saying of every single player who has ever played for Alabama and where they went to.
Yeah.
To me, that's impressive.
Oh, yeah. And that was Nick Saban's, that's what he was really good at, was developmental. Developing players to go on to the next level, and a lot of the times they went on to be great stars.
Yeah.
So, I'm going to take my hat off here for a second, set it on the table. Nick Saban, fantastic head coach. Wish you luck in your future endeavors.
I wish Nick Saban in his future endeavors. It's same thing.
So, let's take it down a notch, shall we?
Ready to talk about NFL?
I'm ready, and I'm ready to cut a little promo here, if you don't mind. I think you know what I'm talking about.
Okay. Well, then the news can wait a little bit more.
So, this past Sunday, the New Orleans Saints played the Atlanta Falcons.
Yeah.
Right. It was not a very competitive game on the Falcons' part at all. The Falcons suck. By the way, if you don't know, the Falcons suck. I'm talking to you, Nate.
I'm going to send him this clip.
It was not a very competitive game on the Falcons' part, but, you know, whatever. Neither team was really playing for anything. They weren't going to the playoffs, no nothing.
I mean, it's week 18. Everybody's playing their backups.
Yeah. Nobody. At this point, it's just do whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Backup quarterback for the Saints, Jameis Winston, goes out onto the field in the final minute and 10 seconds of the game. And the idea is he was going to go into victory formation. I'll get into victory formation here in a minute. And why I don't like it. They go into victory formation. The idea is the quarterback steps back, takes a knee, and lets the time run down on the clock. That was the orders given to him by head coach Dennis Allen. But he decided to go rogue a little bit, and he decided to, let's go ahead and score a touchdown here. The score at that point was 41-17. Score after the touchdown was 48-17. Does that sound like much of a difference to you?
No, not really.
No. 41, 48, what does it matter? Especially when you're not playing for anything. It doesn't matter. Why are people making such a big deal out of this one touchdown that was scored at the end of the game?
And Nate, our friend Nate, who's the big...
Give me his defense first, and then I'll give you Shannon Sharp's defense.
Okay. So let me pull it up, because we did talk a little bit about it, and I think he was supposed to contact you today.
He did. He did. And I think I convinced him that I was right. By the way, this is our good friend, Nathan Rivers, commentator for PWL down in El Paso.
Shout out to them.
Shout out to them. Shout out to Nate.
Okay, so I said, no, you guys gave up. He goes, how exactly? Desmond Ridder sucks. Tyler Hinnick is servable, but he got hurt. Arthur Smith doesn't know how to use star players for the life of him. And then we went and talked about blah, 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 blah. He goes, I'm texting Davis how he thinks Falcons gave up because I'm genuinely curious. I go, he'll probably go into the whole Saints thing. That I got no defense, and we just couldn't fucking score. And at the end, the last touchdown by the Saints was, quote, unnecessary. And then he goes, still though, the Saints already had double digit leads. Last touchdown, faking the kneel down to score was unnecessary. And then he goes, defense is the only saving grace of the Falcons. Offense sucks. So, and I ended up talking about how, like, well, they're the drizzling shits. You couldn't even make it. Couldn't draw
Yeah,
you know, two sets of Chinese money.
The whole Dirty Bird rundown, yeah.
Yeah, and then I talked about the Panthers games. He goes, that wasn't our home game. It was the Panthers' home game. We may suck, but our fan base is loyal and loves to come to the games.
Yeah. Okay. Whatever. So here's the deal. Shannon Sharp came out and said, I would cut Jameis Winston today, on the day after all of this happened. Now, let me explain something here. And I say this to Nate first. There is no score in the NFL ever, in football ever. There is never a time where you score a touchdown and it's quote unquote unnecessary. If you score, you've done your job. 100% of the time. It does not matter what the score is. It doesn't matter if the Falcons would have scored. They did their job on that drive. Now, when I played football, and it was a very short time, and I wasn't very good, hence why this is called the Water Boy Experience, there was one thing that was beaten in my head every single day that I showed up to practice.
Eat more?
Yes. Gain some weight. Get stronger.
Be better.
Be better.
Get some real talent.
Go get some water. There was one thing that was beaten in my head constantly every single day I walked into the Peddle High School football field. As long as there is time left on that clock, you play. It doesn't matter what the score is. It doesn't matter what's going on outside. If there is 0.01 seconds left, then you go out there and you play football. And you play it the way it's supposed to be played. You execute on that play. That's it. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. Now, I hate the victory formation because the whole idea of even if you're about to win the game is just be safe, take a knee, and don't run a play. Just go on. I hate that because that shows both teams are just walking off the field. It's done. There's still a minute and 10 seconds left, and you think you're going into victory formation. So what are you doing? You're getting paid millions of dollars. You didn't do anything in the game. It's not like anything's going to change. But you're getting paid millions of dollars to walk out there and stand there for a minute and 10 seconds while the other team just takes a knee. No. That's not the way the game is supposed to be played. It doesn't matter what's going on. If you go out onto that football field, an NFL football field, you should execute your play and do everything to a T and play your heart out. Because there are a lot of people that would kill, absolutely kill, to play in that last minute and 10 seconds left in that game, even if they were losing by as much as you were. Sorry, filthy fucking Dirty Birds. And so everybody said, Shannon Sharp's big argument was Jameis Winston was unprofessional because he made an audible to run a play and the defense had seceded in that moment. That's telling me basically in a roundabout way, they shouldn't have run a play because the defense gave up. That's the perfect time to run a play is when the defense is just, you know, they don't care anymore. You go out there and you just stand there. And you just go through walkthroughs. That's what you're supposed to do before the game or the day before the game is walk through a play. You never do that on a field in a real game. That's what they did. They went out there and they just did walkthroughs while the other team scored a touchdown on them. What do you expect is going to happen? I know you weren't expecting for them to run an actual play, but it's the NFL. You got to be ready for anything. And everybody's saying, oh, it was a dirty play. It was a trick play. They weren't supposed to do that. Don't give me fucking dirty plays. I had to sit there and watch the Kansas City Chiefs play Ring Around the Rosie last year and then walk down and score a touchdown on the fucking Raiders. The most embarrassing fucking play I've ever watched in my life. This was nothing. This was just the Atlanta Falcons just giving up. They don't care anymore. We're going home. That's it. And Arthur Smith wants to throw a fit. Start yelling at Dennis Allen. It wasn't even Dennis Allen. Dennis Allen, you know, they went rogue on Dennis Allen because they don't want to listen to him because he has no respect in the locker room. Rightfully so, because he fucking sucks. I can tell you that because he was the Raiders head coach for way too damn long. So everybody says this isn't fair. This wasn't a fair play. It was dirty. In my opinion, this is 100% fair. Guessing if they're gonna take a knee or run a play or whatever, it's it's no different than trying to guess if they're going to throw the ball or run the ball. And I really don't like, the defense of, well, we were in victory formation, so we don't have to try it. No, that means you gave up before time ran out. A whole minute and 10 seconds was left on the clock. And you are being paid millions of dollars to just go out there and stand there. That's not how this works. I wasn't playing for anything. But if I got on that field, no matter what the score was, I'd run until I fucking threw up. It didn't matter what was going on. It didn't matter what the score was. We could be losing 36-3 against Brandon like we were multiple times. If I got a chance to get out on that field, I'd play my fucking heart out. But these are fucking starters supposed to be setting an example for the younger college rookie guys that are on the bench hoping they get to play one day, or the practice squad. And you go out there and you just stand there and you let them. No. They didn't steal that touchdown from you. You were on the field. You lined up. You let them score that touchdown on you. And then you're going to cry and complain about how, well, that was a dirty play. No, you just got fucking lazy and you stood there and you watched them do it. So no, fuck the Falcons. Fuck Arthur Smith. By the way, he's fired.
I think the next day you got fired.
Oh yeah, the next day. It didn't take long. He walked into the office. He was like, go ahead, turn around, walk back out. He's done. I praise Jameis Winston for doing his job. I think he should have a starting job somewhere if he ever gets his eyes fixed again. And then fuck Dennis Allen. And I'll say this last thing. The NFL wants to ban the tush push, which is ridiculous to want to ban the tush push. If you need to ban any other play, it is victory formation. In the final seconds, it doesn't matter if you're winning. I think it should be mandatory for you to run some kind of play in those final seconds of the game. Doesn't matter what it is. What do you think?
I agree with you. I think giving up, even when you know you're up against, you know, somebody you know you can't beat, or when you know you're going to lose, you still shouldn't give up. You should still try. I think that in Formula One, Max Verstappen, he won both the Constructors and Drivers Championship with like 5 races to spare. He could have done what Lewis Hamilton did whenever he won with Mercedes and just took it easy, but he didn't. He pushed the car to the limit. And a lot of people saying that's unnecessary, that's stupid. And I say, no, if you want to be the best, you're the best at all times. It doesn't matter if you got the win and you're fighting for nothing. You still got to come in and give it 110%. And I've always said this, the Falcons are a horrible team. If it was up to me, I would have fired everyone on that team. Everybody would have been let go.
Yes, at the very least, everyone on that defense.
Yeah.
The defensive coordinator, everybody, get out.
Yeah, I would have fired everybody there. Why? Because you guys gave up. What the fuck am I paying you for? To give up? No. So I think everybody there in the Falcons team should be fired. And I think, who was the guy who said that stupid thing? The ESPN guy?
Shannon Sharp.
Shut the fuck up. It wasn't unnecessary. You want to fire somebody for doing his job? Is that what you're telling me? You're telling me that by gaining another touchdown, that's enough to get fired? That's stupid.
Disrespectful.
You know what's disrespectful? Giving up. Shortchanging people who spent a lot of money to come to that fucking game. Because those seats, they ain't fucking cheap.
Oh, no.
And you're fucking shortchanging those people. And you're shortchanging your own fucking fans because they're looking at that team and I bet you 110% they're all going, why the fuck am I supporting a fucking losing team like the Falcons? Look at the Raiders. Look at the Lions. They're a fucking shitty team, but they don't fucking give up. They try their damnest.
They don't sit down. I can tell you right now, Antonio Pierce would not take that shit.
There's a reason why we went 0-16, the first team to have a complete losing season. What was it in 2016?
Back then, it was ever.
Yeah, because we didn't give a damn, because everybody thought, all our players, our coaches, everybody thought the same thing. We're the Lions. We're never going to win anything. Yeah, with that fucking attitude, no, you're not. Look at Dan Campbell. Look at what he did to the team. Look at where we are. Look at where the Falcons are. You guys aren't going to amount to anything. I think since they went to the Super Bowl and they lost and they choked, I think ever since then, they just don't care.
Oh, no. You can't convince me anyone in the Falcons organization cares about football.
They don't.
Right now.
And I don't care what Nate says. I love you, Nate. You know I do, but it's not unnecessary. What it's unnecessary is giving up.
No, and again, what's unnecessary is when you play Ring Around the Rosie and then go and throw a touchdown on the Raiders. That's unnecessary.
Yeah.
That's dirty. But you know, I didn't call shit on that.
Wow.
I called shit on that, but you know, I couldn't say anything. We let them do that.
Yeah.
That's just the way it was.
If you don't want to be embarrassed, don't be an embarrassing team.
Try. Just try.
Yeah.
Well, we're going to move on to some other head coach firings. The Washington Commanders fired Ron Rivera. He has not been very productive there.
Sorry about your cousin getting fired, Nate.
The Titans are parting ways with Mike Vrabel. He's been the head coach there for a while. And I don't know. Maybe this is the opening for them to bring in somebody that can really help Will Levis.
Maybe.
I hope it is.
Also, the Seahawks had fired their head coach, Pete Carroll.
He's been there for God knows how long.
That team.
And he's in the same situation as Bill Belichick. It's just the system of offense or, you know, defense or whatever it is that he runs. The system he runs is just outdated. It doesn't work anymore. It's time for him to go. I think he's the oldest NFL head coach by a long shot right now.
And then TJ Watt has been ruled out of the Steelers playoff game this Sunday against Buffalo.
Yeah, that's gonna be a tough one. I mean, it was gonna be a tough one regardless against Buffalo, but yeah, that's a tough loss for them.
And then Chargers player Corey Linsley has announced that he's likely to retire after 10 seasons due to heart issues.
Now, let's get to the Raiders. The Chargers request an interview with Patrick Graham for head coach position. Now, another team that I don't really know who they were requested to interview Patrick Graham, and it was denied by the Raiders. Now, there's a lot of talk right now, a lot of moving parts, a lot of rumors and speculation, baby, about whether Antonio Pierce is going to be with us next year, you know, if Patrick Graham's going to be with us next year. Mark Davis opened the floor to any coach to accept other offers, you know, whatever's going on. You're open to talk to other teams, which on one hand I think is fair. On the other hand, I think it's a stupid fucking idea. Everybody's goal right now is to look at Jim Harbaugh, who is the head coach for Michigan, just won the national championship. They're looking at Jim Harbaugh to be the Raiders' next head coach.
Which the rumor is Jim is asking for $100 million to leave Michigan.
Yes, which can't blame him, but
that's a shit ton of money.
That's a shit ton of money. It's money that we just don't have and we should not be spending at all as an organization because we're already paying two head coaches to sit at home because we fired them.
John Gruden, who is being considered as a possible head coach with the Saints.
Yes.
And then you have McDumbfuck, who you're paying $80 million.
And he might go play. He might go do the Patriots. He might go take over Bill Belichick's spot.
Well, that's the rumor now. But initially, he's being rumored to be back as, what was it, the defensive coordinator?
Offensive
coordinator. Offense, defense, it doesn't fucking matter. That guy can't do fucking shit.
He couldn't coach the water boys. And this is coming from a water boy, too. But no, it's not as much the idea that I think bringing in Jim Harbaugh is a bad idea. What I think is a bad idea is letting Antonio Pierce walk. Because he's built up this following. He's a leader. He's not just a head coach. He's a leader of men. He has the entire team on his back. Josh Jacobs is one of them. There's a lot of players there that are like, if I don't play for Antonio Pierce, I'm not going to play for the Raiders.
I think Davante Adams is one of those.
Davante Adams.
He's got to go through his contract, but
look at Max Crosby.
Yeah.
Same thing.
Look, hey, Max, if you want to get out of the Raiders, well, there's always a home for you up in Detroit.
Yeah, in Michigan.
Yeah, Michigan. Yeah.
Yeah. So it's just, I hope Mark, for once in his career and once in his life, makes the right decision here, keeps Antonio Pierce, does everything he can to keep Patrick Graham. But if Patrick Graham wants to walk, I understand. I love the guy, and I think he's a great defensive coordinator, but he would make a great head coach elsewhere. I even think he'd make a great head coach for the Raiders, but regardless, if he has to walk, let him walk. But do everything you can in your power to keep Antonio Pierce, because that is our guy. To you and the Lions, that is our Dan Campbell.
Yeah.
And he proved himself. I think he should have won that head coaching job. I don't think we should be talking about this when he beat the Chiefs or when he decimated the fucking Chargers.
When he picked up the pieces of everything that McDaniels did to fucking ruin this team.
Yes, and he's still picking up the pieces right now. Now, obviously, the number one need that we need is an offensive coordinator and a quarterback. There is one quarterback in the draft right now, Jaden Daniels, who has openly said he wants to go play for Las Vegas because he wants to play for his former head coach, Antonio Pierce. That's a relationship built right there. And day one, he will come in, he'll fit in, he'll play his ass off. He'll do everything he can to be a great player. And I think he would pan out to be a great player.
And I think Aiden should be fired. He's not good. Like I told you, he's a milk drinker. He looks like one. He can't play a snap of fucking football. Like I said, he might have been a star where he comes from, but in the big league, son, you're not making it.
He's not cutting up.
Fuck, if Flacco, you know, after the playoffs, if Flacco is like, all right, I'm going to go back into, you know, taking care of my kids, getting on the couch, watching TV. If he goes back into that, I say, hey, Flacco, come play with the Raiders as our backup quarterback. Because Lord knows that if you need a good backup quarterback, who he's the man to go.
Your guy is Joe Flacco.
Exactly. So I think Mark is not going to hire Antonio Pierce because Mark had the same opportunity with Rich. And even then, when I was still new to football, I was telling you, you know what? I think it's a bad idea of you guys getting Josh McDaniels. I think if you stick it to Rich, I think that might be the safest option. I was even telling you back then, he's like Dan. I think he can build this team back up.
Yeah.
At which point, you didn't even believe in the Raiders. You didn't, I'm not in the Raiders, in the Lions. You didn't believe in Dan. But I was telling you, I was just seeing that. And I was like, this guy needs to stay. He is loved by everybody. And he's not the greatest football coach, but he's the fucking coach that you need. I say the same shit about the Lions. He's not the greatest football coach ever, but goddamn, does he make those boys play. We're not the Falcons. We're not like the Falcons anymore, all right? We don't fucking give up just because we're the Lions. We now go, we're the fucking Lions. We're going to fight until we can't fight anymore.
I think the whole, you could sum up Antonio Pierce with the whole halftime speech he gave after we were beating the Chargers, what, 49-0 in halftime?
Yeah.
All he said was, don't let off the gas. And we didn't, and we kept going. And there's the whole story about when he was coaching high school and they were beating that piss out of him and at halftime, and they got a delay a game penalty. You know, one delay a game penalty. Well, the delay a game penalty came after halftime because they were late coming back onto the field because Antonio Pierce made them run gassers during halftime because they did something that he didn't like. So they went back on the field and they won that game 99-0 or something like that. It was fucking crazy.
And I mean, if you hear the stories about players who went to Alabama, they say the same thing about Nick. If you're not playing at 100%, he notices and he gets on your fucking ass. Yeah. He doesn't care who the fuck you're playing. You could be playing Florida State University.
Look at what he did with Marcus Peters.
Yeah.
Marcus Peters had one bad game where he was just walking around out there. The next day, he was gone. You're not going to bring that shit over here.
Yeah.
That whole Falcons defense, God, that wouldn't last. None of those players would last a fucking day under Antonio Pierce.
I think the first snap, Nick would have just fired everybody.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
And he would have gotten the backups. He would have gotten the practice squad.
He would have quit right there. He's just like, there's nothing I can do here. I'm done.
I think he's got more heart.
He maybe has more
pride. He has definitely more heart than Arthur Smith. Arthur Smith doesn't even have a fraction of the heart that Nick Saban had for football.
Arthur Smith is a fucking putz.
He looks like a putz.
But yeah, that's what's going on with the Raiders right now. But anyway, would you want me to sign us off?
Yeah, because we're running low and I forgot to bring my charger.
Oh man, well great.
We were having a good conversation.
We were having a great conversation here. Thank you guys for listening to this episode of the Waterboy Experience. You can follow us on the Waterboy You can follow us on TikTok at The Waterboy Pod or on Twitter at The Waterboy Pod as well. Thank you guys for listening to this episode of The Waterboy Experience. And the battery's dead. Peace.
Also, Davies is getting married this weekend.
Yeah, congratulations to me. Peace. Yeah.
Second and goal just outside the 10. Hart dips it in and it's Waller. He spins into the end zone for the touchdown.